We were talking yesterday about the first sugya that we had this focused on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, which was the sugya of Maliach Kroseach. That's what we chazed in yesterday's Chazarashir. And in the context of a general conversation about Nesinas Tam and Tam Ke'ikar, methods of Tam transfer. The Gemara then goes on in talking about Maliach Kroseach over the course of the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. The Gemara then expands into several other areas. We'll hold off for now, as we did the first time around. We'll hold off for now on the other method of Tam transfer that the Gemara mentions. The Gemara had said, "Kishem that we have one method of Bliya Betzonein, a method of Tam transfer out here, which is Maliach Kroseach." The Gemara begins to expand the conversation into Davar Charif. Where it goes back and forth, is there another method of Bliya Betzonein via Davar Charif? The Gemara appears to be handling about that, and the Lemaskanas HaSugya, the bottom, the very last line of the Amud, we finally hear that there is such a thing as Bliya Betzonein via Davar Charif. So more on that Bli Neder in tomorrow's Chazar Hashir. The Gemara also raises in the course of talking about the Davar Charif issue, the Gemara also raises the notion of Hetera Bala versus Isura Bala. We'll get to that Bli Neder tomorrow as well, because as we saw, the Ran raises that distinction in the context of the discussion of Napa Na. We want to take a look at right now. And a third point. A third point, which the Gemara raises in the course of the Shak Vataria, you know, leading up to the two Das Kuf Yalf on Beis, which we'll hold off on till tomorrow, is a Braisa, Milo Tanya. The Braisa, the Tosefta, the Gemara mentions about how there's Blia in Kalim. Kedair Shabishu Abasa Lo Yivash Shabachal. So those are three issues that the Gemara raises in the middle of Kuf Yalf on Beis, which we'll hold off on till tomorrow. Again, we'll Bli Ner tomorrow. We'll get to the question of Blia Alide Davar Charif, the concept of Isura Bala versus Atera Bala, and the very basic notion of Bliya Bekalim, that Bliyas don't have to be, Nesinas Tam doesn't have to be food to food. As the Mishnayos we spoke about yesterday described in Sadi Vavakuv Ches and Tosefta about Maliach, doesn't have to be food to food, it can be food to Kaliz. We already saw the Ka'ar Shemach Babasar. But the line I want to look at for now, all those are really headquartered in the next piece of Gemara, the Nat Bar Nat Sugya. I want to look at right now, the Gemara raises the question of Kefela, Litame Kefela. Because the Gemara was struggling to understand how come we say Kar Shemach Babasar Asalach Baroseach, but the Tzinon Shechasach Besakin, you slice a sharp radish with the Fleshik knife, it's Mutter Lachlu Bekutach. You're still allowed to eat it with milchiks. So how come we differentiate between the Kar Shemach Babasar and the Fleshik knife? The Gemara raises the possibility, well, you know, if you have a treif of flavor, you can't taste it. If you have a milchik, just a question of milchik flavor. If you have just a fleshik or milchik flavor, then you can taste it. And that's what the Gemara mentions, that that there is such a thing as te'ima ayde kfeila. And this is fascinating. This is fascinating. You can have a nachri taste the food, taste the taruvus to say, see whether it has a flavor or not. And the Gemara mentions it's true that there's a din of kefela, but it's going to be somewhat rare. Sometimes there's no kefela around. It's interesting that the Gemara raises that. And what we saw is we had gone back to the course of Nos and Tam and Kefela, the Mishnah we had seen yesterday, the Mishnah in Sadivav and Beis, one of the key Mishnahs in the world of Isvahatar. It's in Paragin Anasha. And the Gemara, we remember, we saw yesterday, the context there is, I have the hindquarters of the animal that were in Trebert. And when you have hindquarters of the animal, So in addition to having to make sure that the amyl is nishchat and that to check for treifas, least treifas of the lungs of the rea, and salting the meat, melicha, in terms of the hindquarters of the amyl, the back half of the amyl, there are two additional issues. One is chelev, and the other is gid hanasha. And those are both parts are absolutely treif, and there's no way to remedy them. Unlike dam, the uranium, you remove through melicha, here the only way is to physically cut it out, to physically dissect the hindquarters and remove the chelev, and specifically remove the ganasha really requires some dissecting. You have to cut in and pull all the parts that are minator midrabanan covered by the rubric of ganasha. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, let's say you didn't. Let's say you just took the hindquarters of the hindquarters of the animal, whatever that steak is called, and you grilled it whole, you cooked it whole. So then you have to you it's been no same time. That's what the Mishnah says in Saivav and Beis. Yerushin is bashwa ganasha. You cooked it with the ganasha still in. And yeshba b'no sentam are zu asura. If it gives flavor, so that is a problem. The ganasha can give flavor. If the ganasha succeeds in infusing the surrounding meat with its flavor, so then the meat is going to be treif. An example of tam keikur. And you remember the Gemara in Sadi Zayin. As we mentioned, you know, the first Gemara deals with the question how far does the flavor spread when you're cooking with liquid versus a dry roast, and then the Gemara gets involved in the issue of how exactly do you determine benos sein tam. The Mishnah doesn't tell me how do I know whether it's benos sein tam or not, and the Gemara first Rava begins to talk about raises the idea of a human toim, either a Jewish toim, let's say in the case of truma b'chulin, you just need a kohen who's allowed to eat truma and chulin, or a non-Jewish toim, in the context of gid anasha. And Rava says, he heard b'shem of Yochanan, that some chinak fail arma, that you're allowed to rely on the non-Jewish baker, the non-Jewish chef. If he says that he doesn't taste any gid anasha, then the meat is kosher. And Rava puts it in a larger context. So there are really three approaches. Amar Banu Mataima, the very seminal Gemara, Sayzayim Enaf Sayzayim Beis, Amar Banu Mataima, Rabban Kfela, Amar Banu Beshishim. We find in the Tanam, sometimes they talk about the Tanam in the early Amoraim. Sometimes we have a Jewish Toim, sometimes we have a non-Jewish Toim, the Kfela, and sometimes we talk about Shishim. And that's the Psak in Rashi sends you to the end of Avodah Zarah. Follow Shishim. So Gemara explained on the size of the base. They're all true. It depends on the circumstances. A Jewish kfela is only available, a Jewish toim is only available when all the ingredients are kosher, just a question of milchus and treif, or truma versus chulin. It's the only two questions of milchus versus fleishiks, or truma versus chulin. Then you can have a Jewish toim. And toim in general, Jewish or non-Jewish, are only going to be available, where not only is there someone around who's able to taste it, but it lends itself to tasting. It's min b'shein omino. The two foods that blended together have two different tastes. So gid hanasha and basar have a somewhat different tastes. Or if I have chves, truma apples that I baked into an apple pie, in a pie crust, so we want to know, can the non-Kohanim eat the pie crust? Okay, so apples and pie crust have two different tastes. But if they're all the same, if it's truma apples and non-truma apples, if it's kosher meat, kosher beef and non-kosher beef, it's min bimino, it's all the same flavor, there is nothing to taste. If there is nothing to taste, or there's no one available to do the tasting, so then we're going to rely on shishim. The Gemara is pretty clear that the ideal is to have a toim, a human toim, either a Jewish toim or non-Jewish toim, and then last resort, when ti'ima is not an option, either because there's no one who's halachically allowed to be a toim who's around, or that physically it's impossible because all the items have the same flavor, so then you fall back, the fallback is a shishim. Which again was the impression we got in our sugya as well, a kufi alpha on the base. That really you use kfela, okay, but if there is no kfela, then there's no kfela, then the ideal is kfela. The ideal is a toim, which makes it bizarre. We looked at the opening sif in Hilchas Taruvus. Hilchas Bas B'chal runs from Simen Pei Zayin to Simen Tzadi Zayin, and Taruvus opens Simen Tzadi Ches, the very next Simen, And the opening line of Siman Sadiches is Shulchan Aruch quotes this Gemara. This is the foundation of Tyruvus, is the idea of Beno Saint Tam, and the Beno Saint Tam can either mean you actually have a human Toim, a Jewish or non-Jewish, or else you have Shishim. And then you have this surprising Ramah. Ramah quotes the Agur, no. Ramah quotes on Leichach Ashkenaz that our minig is we always use Shishim, which is puzzling. I mean, our minig is. The Gemara is pretty clear that that kefela, whether that the ideal you have a human toy. And if you can't have a human toy, then you fall back on Shishim. What do you mean our minig is? Our minig is against the Gemara. What does it mean? I mean, again, just to be clear, let me just be clear. The Kasha, let's be clear how big the Kasha is how big the Kasha isn't. The Ramah isn't saying something that the Gemara would not have accepted lahalacha. In other words, the Gemara is clear that Shishim works. Ramah says, our minhag is we always use Shishim. We never bother with the Kfela. We never go the Kfela route. Now, that's not illegitimate. The Gemara says, Lamaisa, Shishim works. But the question is, but the Gemara was thoroughly comfortable with using a toim, and we only need to invoke Shishim when there is no toim. So why are we less comfortable with the kefela than the Gemara is? Why are we being more machmer, so to speak? Again, just to explain a little more of the underlying basics here, right? The idea of Shishim is that is that looking around at the different types of foods that you might find in your kitchen, in a typical kitchen, some have a stronger taste, some have a milder taste. But comparing the typical foods in a kitchen, any food it mixed into any other food, sometimes, I don't know, just to make up examples, maybe, you know, apples giving their flavor into meat, and maybe you need a 1-to-20 ratio in order for apples, after at least one part of apples to 20 parts of meat in order to give the flavors. You got to 1-to-21 already, wouldn't give flavor. I'm just giving examples. And maybe you would say meat into carrots, as long as it's one part meat to 50 part carrots, it's already going to be no sin tam. But 1-to-51, not. And so Chazal looked at the various foods you're typically going to find in the kitchen, and they saw that once you get to beyond one part in 60, no food is given, every food is diluted, again, except for flavor concentrates and spices and extracts, which we call mils David lataima. If something of that sort, taka is not batel b'shishim. If I have a trefa spice that I put into soup, so we don't say batel b'shishim, mils David lataima obviously is not batel b'shishim. But again, normal, typical foods in the kitchen, not mils David lataima. So Chazal said, once you get to shishim, you're already safe. Sometimes you need 1-to-20, sometimes you need 1-to-40. If you would have a toe, if you have a kfela, he might be matir at 1-to-25 if you would taste it. Once you get to 1-to-60, we're certain that a kfela would call it as being fun. We're convinced that's not no sin time. Okay, but why not rely on the kfela? Why always do the math? Why do we always have to do the arithmetic? Again, as we're saying, it's a chumra because often, if all you're using is shishim and the ratio that you have is 1-to-40, we can say, I'm sorry, it's treif. Got to throw out the food. In fact, you would have asked the kvela, there's a good chance that 1-to-40, he really would have said, I don't taste it. 1-to-60 was Chazal's rule of thumb to be safe. So why would we be machmir to always insist on shishim? Why would we be more machmir than the Gemara? So I shared with you where Rekiva Eger understands that this chumra of the Ramah is rooted in a fundamental machloks rishonim in this sugya. And it could be given take it a step further. Because Rekiva Eger points out that there's a Machlokas Rashi in Tosfos. Machlokas Rashi in Tosfos on Sinai Zion and Aleph. What's the logic behind relying on a kvela? Well, what do you need logic for? I mean, he tastes it. No sin tam. No, but the question is, what the rich Rashi is raising is how come he's Neman in general. There is a principle, the Eidechanem Bisurim, that comes up there is a principle that, as we discussed, the Torah talks about requiring two Edim. The Torah says it twice. The Torah says it once in the context of Onshe Haguf. For Misa or Malkus, you need two Edim, a Pishnei Edim, Shnayim Edim. And the Torah says it also in the context of davar shebemamon, that in a financial context, in order to successfully sue someone else and extract money from the other side, typically you need two edim. And then the Gemara says gzeirah shava to expand from davar, the davar by mamon, to davar by erva. Parshas Kisetze. So now we have three areas of halacha that require two edim: on she haguf, miser malkus, and davar shebe mamon, and number three, davar shebe erva, getting kiddushin and so forth. And there may be some other areas where you also, less common areas, you also need two edim. You need two edim by edus for kiddush hachodesh. Gemara has a special drasha for that. Mishpat Ksivbe is also compared to davar shebe mamon. That's what it sounds like. But other than those areas, Eid Achad is Nam Bisurim. And outside of Davar Shebe Mamon, Davar Shebe Erva, and On She'aguf, if it's a question of Shabbos or Kashrus, then we say, one Eid is Naman. One Eid is Naman, but the question is, how about a Nachri? Is a Nachri Naman? Nachri is Naman to say that the food is kosher. A Nachri is Naman to say that the Tchum Shabbos goes another three blocks, whatever, to the next cross street. Is a Nachri Naman? That's not so pashut. So the Gemara, there are sugars throughout Shas where the Gemara mentions, it comes up in Ksubas, Chafei Chavav, it comes up in the Yuvamis, Kuf Chafal, it comes up in Gittin. And it comes in several places in Shas that a Nachri is Naman as he's Messiah Lefi Tumo. Maybe in a default situation, a Nachri would not be Neman to say this food is kosher, or this is not Melecha Shabbos, or whatever it is. But if he's Mesiach, Lefi Tumo, the Gemara says, if he's just having a casual conversation, Lefi Tumo, he's a Tom. He doesn't realize there's significance to this. So then he is Neman. That's what Rashi invokes. Here too, the case must be that you have to specifically present to the Nachri in a Mesiach Lefi Tumo context. Don't say, hey, we're not sure if this is kosher or not. Can you please taste it and tell us if you taste any meat flavor in these vegetables? No. Rashi says, you got to make sure it's just casual. And then we can believe him based on the logic, on the engine of Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Tosus says, no. Mesiach Lefi Tumo is not what's at play. Going to be beyond our scope, but there are, we showed him get into when does Mesiach Lefi Tumo work and when not. So Tosus seems to think that Mesiach Lefi Tumo is not relevant here. Because Tos, they don't even raise Mesiach Lefi Tumo. They just give a different reason to believe the Nachri, which is Uman Lo Mara Umnase, that he has a professional reputation to protect. The Tos understands that's what we're talking about, Kefela. Why have to say Kefela Arma, a non-Jewish chef? Just say Arma, a non-Jew. What does it matter what the guy does for a living? So you could have said the Kefela maybe has a more refined sense of taste. And we trust, maybe someone else wouldn't pick up on it. But Tosa says it's not just about him being qualified to taste it. It's his qualification to have the nemanus that we believe his word. And he's not just Stama Nachri. He has a professional reputation to protect. And that's Uman Lamarim Nasei, not Mesiach Lefi Tumo. That's what's driving his nemanus. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, and we saw this inside, in Sari Ches, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, look, we want to be machmir for both Rashi and Tosfos. How do you machmir for both Rashi and Tosfos? He says it's mutually exclusive. Rukiv Eger argues that Uman Lamaru Umnase, he assumes that Uman Lamaru Umnase requires that not only that he's a professional, that we're asking him a question about taste, but he knows that it actually matters to us. As in casual conversation, what does this taste like? Rukiv Eger assumes Uman Lamaru Umnase doesn't apply. Uman Lamaru Umnase only works when he knows that we care about his judgment, that his sensory judgment matters to us. So Kinya says, Mimanavshach, if you don't tell him that it matters, so he's Mesiach Vitumo, but no Uman Lamaru Umnase. If he does know that it matters, then you have Uman Lamaru Umnase, but you do not have Mesiach Lefi Tumo. So Rukiva Eiger says there's no way using a single taster to be Mekayim both Rashi and Tosfos. So the Amorim knew which way they passed. Either they passed like Rashi, they passed like Tosfos. They knew which one they were using, so that's what they did. But we don't know whether to hold like Rashi or like Tosfos. Rukiva Eiger says that's the Pshat in Ashkenazi Chumra. We want to cover our bases. We want to be Mekayim Shneim. So there's no way to have a single taster who'll be both Lefi Rashi, Lefi Tosfos, because Manav Shach, either he does know that we care or he doesn't know that we care. Now the Matayonis on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, so he says, you know, okay, we want to have two tasters. One you'll tell, one you won't tell. You have your Rashi taster and your Tosfos taster. So the answer to that probably is in a Hanami, you could do that, but that's very complicated. And the Minhag developed, telling everyone they should have two tasters, make sure this one doesn't know, that one doesn't know. You know, A, it's very hard to organize, and it's likely to break down. One talks to the other. So the Minhag developed, we don't pull, if there's no way to do it with a single person, Minhag developed, we don't start pulling shtick with two Tolman. Okay. The Mati Yonison's Kasha Lachar, we could answer. I would just add one additional point, which is to take your B'kiv Eger a step further, the fact that Sfardim are not concerned about B'kiv Eger's Cheshbon, now it might be simply because, okay, we pay, you know, the Shulchan Aruch takes a stand when they pass like Rashi or Tosfos. Okay. Who says we have to be Machmer like both? That's the Ashkenazi position, that we have to be Machmer like both, A. B, you could reject B'kiv Eger, as we already indicated. B'kiv Eger is making an assumption that Uma L'Amarim Nose is only in play when the Uma knows that his opinion matters. One could make the argument that if you're a professional chef, you're always careful about your sensory judgments. Right? And if that's the case, then the cheshbon of B'kiv Eger falls apart. But there might be a third approach also to why Sfardim might reject B'kiv Eger's cheshbon. And that is, if you look at the Sfardi Rishonim, they do not take the approach of Rashi nor of Tosfos. The Rashba seems to indicate that either one works. You could either have Mesiach Lufutuma or Uman Lamarim Nase. Well, in that case, there's no Menorashach. You either tell him and he'll be Umar Lamar Manasseh, or don't tell him and he'll be Messiah Lefituma. So according to the Rashba, either one is acceptable. It's not an either or. So then the B'kiv Eger's Cheshbon obviously doesn't work. And the Rambam, Beis Ar Samech understands that the Rambam is introducing a third basis for believing the Kfela. Neither Messiah Lefituma, which has its limitations, nor Umar Lamar Amnase, which has its limitations. Mesiach Lufutuma requires that he doesn't know that we care. Umar Lamar Amnase, at the very least, requires that he is an Uman, and according to B'kiv Eger also that he knows that we do care. Our Samech understands in the Rambam that this is based on Milsa da Avida Ligaluye, a third basis. The Gemara has sometimes that we'll give more Nemanos to someone who would not normally be Neman if he knows that we're going to find out the truth ourselves soon enough. It's going to become revealed. And our Samech stresses, even though the Rambam doesn't always accept Milsa Avi Legaluye, but this is an exceptionally strong Milsa Avi Legaluye. Because it's not just he knows that in a week or two we'll find out the truth on our own, and you know it'll be embarrassing for him in a week or two when we realize that he was lying. This is immediate. He knows that in a minute or two we're going to discover the truth. He tells us it doesn't taste like meat. He knows I can taste it right now and see for myself in 5 minutes, in 1 minute I'll taste it and say, what do you mean? These carrots do taste like meat. So this is an exceptionally strong, a very intense Milsa Avi Legaluye Miyad. So the Rambam accepts that. So whether you say like the Rashba or you say like the Rambam, either way, B'kiv Eger's Cheshbon falls apart. So again, we have this idea of Kefela, of that you can give things to a Toim. If you cannot give things to a Toim, then you rely on Shishim. Three or four opinions in Rishonim as to why it is that the Kefela Arma'a is Neman. Rava didn't originally think so until he heard B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan that you can rely on the Kefela Arma'a. Taka, what's Pshat Rabbi Yechanan's Chiddush? How come he's Neman? Normally we don't say Eidech and Bisurim by a Nachri. So Rashi had said it's based on Masiach Lefitumo. Tosa had said it's based on Umar Lamar Umnase. The Rambam had said it's based on Milsa Vila Galuye. And as the Or Sameach added, it's an exceptionally strong version thereof. It's a Milsa Vila Galuye Miyad. And then we saw the Rashba was a fourth opinion. He combined Rashi and Tosa. So either Rashi or Tosa, either one works. It can either be Masiach Lefitumo or Umar Lamar Umnase. Pick your poison. So that's a freestanding machlokes Rishonim as to why Kfela Arma'a is Neman. And B'kiv Eger understands that also impacts understanding of the Rama's Minhag Ashkenaz to not rely on Arma'a. And we explained that it also present points a way forward to understand the given additional approach to why the Sfaradim do not have the Ramah's Chumrah. According to the Rashba, according to the Rambam, the Ramah's Cheshbon does not apply. Okay, Chevra, thank you so much.